Здравейте и добро утро! Казвам се Карина Гузман. Добре дошли, приятели и семейства. Ние сме студенти на Southeast Balkans Cross Culture 2014. Good morning, friends and family. My name is Karina Guzman, and we are the students of the Southeast Balkans Cross Culture 2014.
Welcome, everybody, to the Southeast Balkans trivia game. We have three contestants today, Kegan, Jesse, and Sonia. Question number one. Which continent is Bulgaria on? Sonia.
South America.
Incorrect. Correct answer is Europe. Question number two. What is the national language of Bulgaria? Jesse.
That's so easy. American.
I'm afraid that is incorrect as well. Correct answer is Bulgarian. Question number three. Choose the Bulgarian flag from the following options.
C.
Incorrect again. It is A. Due to the lack of accumulation of correct answers, we're going to have to pull a volunteer from the audience. Do I have any volunteers for the fourth question? I see one. Let's go. Up here in the stripes. Let's go. Let's give him a round of applause. Let's go. Yeah. Nice to meet you. Fourth and final question. Which influential leader of the Communist Party in Bulgaria held the longest-running tenure of the Eastern Bloc nation, which implementing harsh laws that attempted to abolish religion, freedom of speech, and anything that might threaten Bulgarian national identity? Stripes.
Todor Zhivkov.
That is correct! Thank you for watching our game show today. Everybody have a great day. See you later. Happy finals. Next, we'll be having some statistics from Abby and Amanda on our cross culture these past 3 months.
Percentage of cross-cultural chapels that include statistics? 100%.
Number of alternative ideas that includes mass amounts of information in such little time? 0.
So here are some statistics from the Southeast Balkans cross-cultural.
Number of girls in the group, 16.
Number of guys in the group, 4.
Number of group members with a dad named Doug, 4.
Number of languages used on the cross-cultural, 5. Bulgarian, Greek, Turkish, English, and Arabic.
Number of Bulgarian traffic laws obeyed, 0.
Number of Bulgarian traffic laws, 0.
Number of scarves purchased on the trip, 114.
Number of times people were left behind from the group, 5.
Number of unplanned hours spent on the bus, 58.
Number of religious buildings entered, 27.
Number of the times the group was on time, 0.
Number of times anyone in Bulgaria is on time, 0.
Number of Turkish toilets used, 236.
Number of electronics flushed down Turkish toilets, 1.
Number of painful sea urchin quills removed from feet, 4.
Number of painful sea urchin quills still in feet, 97.
Number of countries visited during free travel, 14.
Number of times the word processing and empowerment were used, too many.
Number of times Andrew retold stories, hundreds.
Number of free Turkish teas consumed, 187.
Number of times Amanda and I were seen apart,
0. Number of times we were volunteered by our leaders to sing I'll Fly Away and Down to the River, too many.
Number of unforgettable memories made during the semester, too many to count.
Now we're gonna have some history illustrated through movement.
Good morning. My name is Nika Hofel, and as a cross-cultural, we have learned so much about the Balkan history in these past 3.5 months. And so the best way that we thought to show you guys what we've learned is through this visual interpretation of different narratives in Bulgaria. So, begin. Orthodox. The Orthodox population is the largest in present-day Bulgaria. Established by Boris I with the intention of advancing the Balkan region, thriving with 6.5 million members, the Orthodox faith is dominant in Bulgaria today. However, this has not always been the case. During the Ottoman Empire, Orthodox Christians were brutally martyred by Turkish rule. Despite the oppression, their faith remained strong. The monasteries were instrumental in the preservation of the Bulgarian language and the Bulgarian national consensus throughout the centuries of Ottoman domination. Pomak. The Pomaks are Bulgarian-speaking Muslims, native to the Balkan region. They are often defined as Slavic Muslims. The origin and language of the Pomaks has been debated, but they are today usually considered descendants of native Bulgarians who converted to Islam during the Ottoman rule. The Pomaks are a small portion of the Bulgarian population and hold a starkly different narrative and way of life. Considerable tension and distrust exists between the Pomaks and Orthodox Bulgarians. Roma. The Roma, also known as Gypsies, represent the smallest and least permanent population in Bulgaria today. The Roma are a nomadic group who emigrated from India in the 14th century. Known for their art, dance, music, and storytelling, they're duly romanticized and ostracized. Bulgarians regard the Roma as criminals and petty thieves, pushing them away from society as a whole. This action has caught the Roma in a cycle of poverty, and they remain in the lowest socioeconomic strata. Communism. On September 9th, 1944, a coup d'etat backed by the Soviet Red Army flooded the country with military and created the New People's Republic of Bulgaria. As communists asserted their control over the country, they repressed any and all communities not tied with the Communist Party. Orthodox, being the least restricted among religious organizations, was allowed to continue functioning as long as they withheld the communist ideals. Many priests were watched by the KGB or Secret Service, and some priests were relocated or sent to labor camps and killed. In the desire to unite Bulgaria under communist rule, Pomaks and Roma were forced to change their names to Slavic and Christian names. The communist government was worried about the Pomaks joining neighboring countries to overthrow the communist government in Bulgaria. This was a way to unite Bulgarian people together under communism. Many refused and therefore were put in labor camps or killed. Mosques were bombed and burned. Roma were not distinguished as their own group, but called dark-faced Bulgarians. This furthered the Roma and Pomak alienation. This forcefully assimilated Bulgarian communities to create a unified and completely oppressed population. After the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, Bulgaria was freed from communist powers. With little help from Western countries, Bulgaria is still healing from the terror of communism, resulting in fragmentation of groups. In the advent of the Syrian civil war, the struggling community of Bulgaria has made room for fleeing refugees. Bulgaria has yet to achieve economic, political, or societal stability. So while this movement of refugees is hospitable, it does not give the refugees the stability they need. As Bulgaria continues the healing journey, we hope to one day see a true Bulgarian identity, united by unique communities.
While we were in Bulgaria, we went to a Syrian refugee camp in the city of Harmony. I'm just going to share an experience from that camp. We spent 2 days there gathering shoes for families and assembling beds together. And on the second day, we spent a majority of the morning hanging out with the kids. We played games, we sang songs, and did face painting. I met these two little girls. One was 5 and the other one was 2. And as soon as they... As soon as they walked in, I just smiled and pointed at a piece of paper and crayons, and they walked right over, and the 2-year-old put her arms up and climbed right into my lap and started drawing. They spoke Arabic, so we couldn't communicate at all, but it didn't even matter because we talked with smiles. Every time I'd get up from the table, they'd quickly stop drawing and got up and grabbed my hands and followed me anywhere I went, watching me intently. Even though they didn't understand what I was saying, they just smiled at me, and I'd squeeze their hands, and they would giggle. When I went to leave, they saw me leaving, and both came running up to me and hugged me for a really long time, asking me to pick them up. This was really hard because I knew I was never going to see them again, but I'm really happy for experiences like this one that will stay in my heart forever.
My name is Rachel Schrock, and I'll be talking about when we visited Aroma Camp. First, let me introduce you to Elena. She wasn't the first child that I met at the Roma camp in Bansko, Bulgaria, but she is the one who will forever go with me. I felt her impact deep inside of my being. After only 2 days, I was connected with a stranger, a 6-year-old girl who I could barely communicate with due to a language barrier. We didn't need words. Instead, we shared so much more, a balance of both playfulness and tenderness. We exchanged flower crowns for clover bouquets. I would scroll her name across blank paper, and she would clap wildly. She pinched my cheeks, and I stroked her nose. In a short time, I called her my priatelka, or friend. To begin sharing a fuller narrative, I will briefly give background. Roma people, once called the derogative name gypsy, are considered the least of these among Bulgarians. In a socially stratified country, they are by far among the bottom, sometimes even considered as subhuman. Their identity is splintered due to a cycle of social misconceptions. In addition to this oppression, many Roma families in Bulgaria are fragmented. Many children deal with some degree of physical, emotional, or verbal abuse. This is not always the case, but given context clues during our time together, it was most likely Elena's reality. This made the briefness of our visit even more difficult. The glaring absolute of our time was that there would not be enough. Yes, we could show the children love, but we would leave them. Some of the Roma children had severe attachment issues, and we left just as we were becoming familiar with them. This account of privileged Americans coming into a needing community only to leave it after 2 days felt incomplete to me. I yearned for more. After becoming attached to the children, I hated saying goodbye. On the bus ride back to our home, with the children also on board, I kept looking up the way to where Elena was intently gazing at me. I would blow her kisses and stick my tongue out, attempting to ease the transition that was ahead of us with silliness. The impact of our parting minutes later was still incredibly difficult to bear. I enveloped Elena into a huge hug, and then kissing her cheeks, I repeatedly whispered, "Priatelka, friend," into her ear. It wasn't enough, but it was all that I had. Standing on the cobblestone sidewalk of Bansko, looking into the bus windows, I experienced nostalgia for only weeks before leaving America for our adventure. In Harrisonburg, we were leaving loved ones. I felt the same weight leaving these loved ones, only in this instant, I knew that we would never meet again. The tears escaped me hot and quick, and the leader of the Roma camp rushed to my side. She embraced me and boldly exclaimed, "I love you, Rachel, I love your heart," in broken but beautiful English. This made me weep harder. I stood unable to move. Elena kept waving until the bus was out of sight, but surely not out of mind. In the following months, I would conjure up Elena's face in that bus window, rosy cheeks and yellow carnation in her wild brunette curls. This moment is imprinted on my memory as being one of the most beautiful that I've ever experienced. I will forever hold Elena, a resilient but gentle friend, in my heart.
Upon arrival to our homestay in Plovdiv, Bulgaria, Brooke and my house mother Brooke and I were staying together, and our house mother immediately asked us about our relationship status. We smiled and said that we were single, only to have her jump up and down and say, "Oh, I have a song for that." So, today we will be singing that song. And just to be clear, Brooke and I had to sing this song multiple times to all of her friends over tea or coffee, to have it photographed or videotaped. So believe me, this is documented enough. So, thank you.
Mama.
My name's Sonia.
And I'm Hannah.
So a common thread that we saw woven throughout our semester was the idea of asceticism. Most of us were unfamiliar with this concept before embarking on our semester, so for those of you who don't know what it means, it was introduced to us as an ideal of living a simple life, avoiding material gain, and pursuing authentic rest.
We first heard of this concept from an afternoon spent with an Orthodox priest, Father Zoran, although we'd certainly already seen it lived out in various contexts. From the monasteries of Greece to the everyday Bulgarian life. One of the most beautiful parts of this ideal was that it served as a connecting piece between Christianity and Islam. The priests talked about it, the imams talked about it, and they all practiced it. And we practiced it too, in our homestay in Ribnovo.
Ribnovo is a small Muslim village in the mountains of Bulgaria, and a hot spot for hard work and the warm growing season. In the winters, however, the practice of asceticism is innate to their community. We lived with families in the community for a week, and during that time, we lived as they lived. It was a transition time into winter, so there was still work to be done, but the simplicities of their life were ever apparent.
We gathered wild mushrooms and snapped beans, but most of our time was spent in fellowship by the fire. Our cross-cultural, all in all, was intense and very active, so this time in Ribnovo was much needed rest for all of us. It was a gentle reminder to slow down. We were disconnected from our virtual worlds, and then were able to better engage and receive the hospitality of this community.
From our time spent in Ribnovo, we were able to see the realities of asceticism. While we were only there for a short amount of time, it was one of the most impactful weeks of our semester.
As many of you may know, a focus of our cross-cultural was the relationships between Christians and Muslims in the Balkan region. And while the history between the groups is long and tumultuous, and their narrative is still being written, this was a beautiful opportunity to see the common threads woven between these two religious communities.
Hi, my name's Devin, and I'm going to talk a little bit about my spiritual journey this semester. At the beginning of the trip, we did a River of Life exercise and shared them with a group. When I shared the first time, I spoke about my lack of connection with institutionalized religion. I've never felt this strong connection to what the general idea of God was, and that often makes me feel disconnected to people, especially at EMU. I do have strong beliefs. They're just kind of mismatched and scattered. I believe in reincarnation, and I connect strongly with Buddhism. I believe that there's an energy that moves our lives along. Some people call this energy God. There are reactions to every action, and you can find connections to the holy, and everything from conversations to trees. I always thought the fact that I couldn't feel that connection with God that other people do meant I was missing something. I thought it meant that there was something negative in me that blocked this connection from happening. But throughout this trip, while I've seen nuns cry, collected wisdoms from imams and rabbis, meditated in woods and monasteries, and journaled in cathedrals, I realized something. I am a spiritual person, and just because I can't put a label on it doesn't mean it's not authentic. I am messy, impatient, and stubborn. So yes, I do have negative traits inside me, but these negatives don't hinder my spirituality. They enhance my humanity, which I believe is a huge part of my faith. They flaws, they make me, me. And me is exactly what I need to be. Thank you to my cross-cultural and my friends for helping me figure that out. Thank you.
guys?
Oh, not too much,
not
you know.
Not too much, yeah.
Just got back from the Balkans. Pretty great.
Backs look pretty big.
Yeah, so we just got back from our first homestays in Plovdiv. Our host families gave us a bunch of things to bring back so we could stay healthy now that we're away from them.
Yeah, we stayed in Plovdiv around like 3 weeks doing intensive language studies. We learned all about Bulgarian and pretty much professional language speakers now. But in this time staying there, I think we actually learned more about the science of the Balkans than anything else.
Wow, they look pretty heavy.
Yeah, these backpacks, they're loading me down. I'm breaking a sweat over here. It's hot.
Brooke, no, you can't sweat. Remember, if you sweat, it means you're sick. It's bad to sweat. Well, I got something for you, though.
Okay, good. What do we got here? Oh, good. Okay. Oh, maybe something's wrong with me. I think I caught something. Oh, gosh. This is not good.
Is your hair wet? Because if your hair is wet, it means they're going to catch something. Yeah, yeah. I have something for that, too.
Well, I don't know if that's really a problem because I was kind of on cross-cultural and I didn't shower for a few days now. So there's no way my hair could be wet.
That's gross. Were you outside in the rain? You can catch a cold that way, too. Well, I got something else for you, too. Here, hold up.
Yep. Man, there's a lot in there. Oh, okay. Yep, all different varieties. We'll have to check this out. What are those?
It's healing water. So, I got some for your kidneys, your liver, your ovaries, your eyeballs. What do you need?
Whoa, does that stuff really work?
Yeah, it's holy water.
Whoa.
Yeah, one time my friend Nika was sick, and my host mom gave me an empty bottle, went to a monastery, filled it right up. Next day, she was good as gold.
No
way. So this stuff, it's good. It works. I think I might have actually had something now. Like, I'm getting a little worried.
Do you need some soup?
Some soup.
I have some really hot, scorching soup back in my apartment.
Oh, that might do the trick. Do you know how to make hot soup cooler faster?
No, tell me.
Okay, this is great.
this is good. Okay, right here. This is what you need.
So, when you have hot soup, you put your spoon in the soup, then the heat from the soup goes out the spoon, and the coolness from the air goes right into your soup, and in no time, your soup is nice and chilly.
It's physics.
In a good way.
No way, I'm gonna have to try that.
Mosquitoes, bro, they just keep biting me.
Oh no. Well, thank you, Maria. I have some garlic right here. If you eat an entire clove of garlic, then you won't get mosquito bites anymore, and your mosquito bites will go away in no time.
Thanks, I'll eat it later.
Wow, you guys have all kinds of things in your backpack.
Yeah, they are getting pretty heavy. I think I'll sit for a while.
Do not sit down, girl. You don't even know. Do not sit down.
Oh my goodness, why not?
I forgot. If you sit on cold ground, your ovaries freeze.
No way.
Then you can't have children.
Well, it's good you guys went.
Yeah, we sure learned a lot from our host families.
Yeah, thank goodness. I don't think we would have made it back in one piece if we didn't go this.
No.
Learn about all this stuff.
Aw. It's great. All great right. Tips.
Thank you, Hannah. We'll see you later.
Yeah.
If you need anything, we're locked and loaded.
Okay, I'll just hit you up.
Stay golden.
Yo, what up, my homies? It's Mads and Big J, and we are gonna tell you about a homestay.
Where were we living?
On a communist block. But from the language school, it's a 20-minute walk. A Bulgarian was not so good, no English did they speak. So charades and dictionaries were used for 3 whole weeks.
Have you ever tried speaking about your day without past tense? Here's a hint, it doesn't work, it makes it kinda tense.
All we say is da-da-da.
Sometimes nay-nay-nay.
But we'd always end up laughing, so skichue dobre. Tony'd wake us every morning. Hi day momichete. Gotove liza kuska, which was always sirene.
Slippers had us not when we first entered in, but the look from Lily's face made bare feet seem like a sin.
And every single meal, they'd pile plates of pie, and we'd eat and eat and eat until we had to cry. Dobre, Mama Lily, Aso beachum no go, but if we keep on eating, how much fatter will we grow, yo? Close mom Lily, who taught us how to rap. Every day at dinner, we'd sing and she would clap. Hip hop a me, em no go po do bur, or hip hop a chee.
Morning. Our next two skits are dances, which are Bulgarian folk dances. We learned these dances in Bansko when we were at our first stage of the trip. So unlike American folk music, Bulgarian folk music uses a 7-8 time signature. So instead of having 4 beats in every grouping or segment, there's 7. Which makes it very confusing. So we had fun learning it, but it's a little challenging, so bear with us.
We'd also like to thank our leaders, Andrew and Dario White. They did not just take us to Bulgaria, they took us to their home.
Yes. With grace, they opened up their homes to us and just were there for us for all of the whole experience of, you know, extreme emotion. And so to say thank you, we have 2 very sentimental gifts. We don't have them up here, but it's a hacky sack. brilliantly crocheted by Brooke. It is full of beans that we snapped in Ribnovo. Yeah. And
during our spare time.
During
our spare time, we play hacky sack when we're waiting for like different border crossings and everyone in the bathroom, things like that.
Yep, so just two small objects to show how grateful we are.
All right, and this is around the conclusion of our cross-cultural chapel. Some of you may have received these nice red and white bands. They're called martinitsi. It's a sign of fertility and new life. And technically, you're not supposed to wear them until March. So if you're wearing them, maybe you should wait till March. But you're supposed to put them on the first bud that you see in the spring. And you'll probably see a bunch of them around campus if we're allowed. We'll get together and mark the trees. Also, you can maybe test your luck and wear it now. And if you see a stork, you can put it under a rock, and then you'll get good luck. So. So we have two more things going on. We have a group photo, so we invite the audience to dance with us. We have a really simple dance, don't worry, it's not hard at all. And we're gonna go through the steps in a second. We'll join us in the aisles. After that, we have a slideshow of pictures from our trip, and just thank you so much for coming today. It's been a great time. Please don't leave.
Okay, it's a really simple dance. It's four steps, and you start, you lead with your right foot. So you hold on to the people beside you, join the members who are in the aisles. All right, so, that's really loud. What you do is you go one, two, three, kick, four, kick. One, two, you start with your right foot. So one, two, three, kick, four, kick. One, two, three, kick, four, kick. All right, cue music.
One, two, three.